Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And surprise, we are joined by the amazing, the one and only producer Shannon. Thank you for being here, Shannon.
Hello, hello. Surprise, I'm back.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be great.
Back from beyond.
This is going to be the best episode you've heard in so long. It's just going to be amazing. So,
and people are listening and realizing like, oh, wait, they're actually keep on time since Shannon's here this time.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So a couple quick notes. Number one, if you haven't rated the podcast, please rate the podcast. Also, please consider supporting
on Patreon. Five stars.
And in this episode, a quick preview, we're going to talk about some Uber Lyft algorithms. Google is doing some interesting stuff related to its storage and related to a new product. TikTok is doing some stuff that I think Sanjay is going to find uncomfortable. Also, Segway, it's going out of business or going away or whatever. We'll talk about it. That just totally gives it away. I apologize. A couple of announcements from Apple, and of course, Weird and Wacky and Tech Rex and TV recommendations. So this is going to be awesome. Let's get started. Uber Lyft algorithms charged users more for trips to non-white neighborhoods, says a study. So Sanjay, I'm going to let you read this because I know you nerded out and actually went to read the study. So,
I did actually go to read the study because I knew you weren't going to do that. So I went all in on this thing.
What are you trying to say, man?
that you tend not to read research papers is all I'm saying.
So Shannon, you know me so well, man.
All the work you're doing on water quality testing, if you write a research paper on it, Adam's never going to read
it. Adam will not read it. That's so true.
I'll read it.
I know you will. You got to know.
Yeah, exactly. So so essentially what it is that they took a very large data set. In the notes here, we got 100 million trips between November 2018 and December 2019, and 68 million of them by individual riders, and basically analyzed and said that, hey, if you're being dropped off or picked up in an area which has lower than average education, there was also something about like the strategic subject list around gun violence.
Right.
So in these areas, you would end up paying more than a comparable trip to that did not start or end, and it was the same distance, same length, all of that stuff. And basically saying that, look, the algorithms that are being used by these companies, Uber, Lyft, and one other, I forgot the other one, is costing people more. And if you read the article, it talks a little bit about folks that are African-American, that have a African-American sounding name. I'm not 100% sure what that means always, but not I guess a bland name, means that they would have more rides canceled on them, men and women. They would wait longer for rides. And then, you know, with this study, looking at how it would actually cost more. The reason why I wanted to go and look at the study and really understand kind of what analysis they did. It's actually a long article or paper. It's 19 pages. I didn't read all of it. Is I wanted to understand the kind of background of the people writing this paper, because Lyft has come out and said like, hey, they even said like, you know, algorithms are doing other things and it's based on like speed and demand and all these things. Right. But all of those things are kind of implicit in geography too. And I wanted to make sure that the authors were somebody that probably knew what they were doing. So one is a PhD student at George Washington University. The other one is an associate professor of computer science at George Washington University. Neither one of these two individuals, I even looked them up on LinkedIn. I don't think they're dummies. Like, of course, even in a research paper like this, like they could have analyzed something that wasn't actually real. But I don't know that you can just come out and say like, oh, they don't know what they're doing. Right. Like, I think there is probably some basis here. And if I were Lyft or Uber, I'd say like, hey, this is interesting. If it's true, it's unfortunate. We're going to look at this. We're going to understand what these mechanics are and see what we can do about making pricing fair for all of our customers, not just ones that are you know, starting or stopping in places that are more favored. And I think we're seeing this in a lot of things, right? And there's been a hard look on a number of these things. It's funny. Just earlier today, I saw there's these skincare products. This totally has nothing to do with Uber and Lyft.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I understand. Earlier today, you were looking at skincare products. Is that what I'm... I just want to make sure I heard you
right. I was reading a story about skincare products in India.
I heard you say earlier today you were shopping for skincare products.
I wasn't shopping for skincare products.
No, this is fine. There's no shame in that, man. It's cool.
I mean, I do care about my skin. I moisturize. I take care of my skin. You don't look this beautiful just by accident. You got to work at it, man.
That's the title of the episode. You don't look this beautiful by accident.
But there's
can we designate Sanjay as the speaker of that? That'd be great. Thank you. Anyway, all right. Well, so to your point, Uber and Lyft should probably take a look at the research, I think. And we would suggest that if you happen to.
And maybe there's nothing there. It's possible there's nothing there, but I don't think you can just dismiss it out of hand.
When you have a study that's coming from a major university, it's already either peer reviewed or it's in the process of peer review, and those systems exist for a reason. And it's such a large data set, 100 million trips. Yeah. So you can make some decent conclusions from there. And, you know, obviously there's assumptions that's made in every study, and, you know, data can tell you a couple different things depending on what type of analysis you're doing. But there's two different parts to it here. There's the actual technology having bias in it, which that algorithm is written by a person. So it comes back to people. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the side of people having their rides canceled because of their name, and their name is non-white sounding. Yeah. So then you have bias with your drivers. So there's a lot that Lyft and Uber can be doing, and for them to just refute it and say that, oh, this study is problematic because of the way the data was analyzed, you know, instead of taking that approach, it's an opportunity for learning, and I hope they rise to the challenge.
Yeah, and I think that's it's a good point for everybody else that's listening or anybody that sees this study to think about it as, you know, if they're founders and entrepreneurs or, you know, anybody involved in kind of pricing decisions, to think about making sure that they are doing the right thing that makes it fair for everyone, because, you know, this fairness and equity and justice for all is meaningful in all aspects of life.
So speaking of doing the right thing, Sanjay, you're going to like this next article, right? Google says it will no longer save a complete record of every search.
So I mean,
this is like a baby step. That's where you're going. This is a baby step in the right direction, right?
Yeah, I like it.
It's a micro
light.
Step.
I lightly like it. So this feature has been there for a while, but you had to go in and know to do it and delete it. You can go ahead and guess that I did that. And yes, you are right. I did do that and it's disabled. Of course, I also don't use Google for search, but in the off chance that I accidentally did it, it wouldn't be saved. That said, I still have a little bit of a concern over this. First of all, competition is a great thing, right? They're saying that they didn't done this because, or at least that's the premises, is because of the competition with Apple, who's positioning themselves as more pro-privacy than Google. So competition is a great thing that makes companies do things that are the right thing to do. But 18 months to me still feels really,
pretty long.
Really long, right? Mm-hmm. Like 18 weeks feels like a better distance of time. And I understand that they want to make decisions based on kind of a velocity and understanding a complete picture of somebody over a period of time. But I think there is just so much risk in some of these things and having them stored for long periods of time that less is better.
I always kind of wonder, like, how do they come up with these numbers? Like, did somebody throw out like, hey, let's do 36 months? Like, no, that just seems too long. And somebody's like, let's do three. Let's settle on 18 months. Like, I mean, like, how do you, why 18? Why not 17? Well, that's 16.
That's a good question. I wonder if there actually was analysis in this, or was it a 18 sounds right.
I think they put numbers in a hat and just picked one out, and they're like 18, yay! You know,
I think 17. You know, well, it's an odd number too, and it's a prime number. It just feels too weird. 18 sounds like a round number.
Better. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of weird, Google launched a Pinterest competitor called Keen. I just have so many problems with this. The first is that I don't even use Pinterest. Do either of you use Pinterest at all? I think my wife uses Pinterest.
I don't have an account.
Pinterest just doesn't feel like it's growing. It feels like it's like stable and plateaued or shrinking perhaps. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. And then Google, in the ever expanding Google verse of wanting to do everything, this just feels like a bad idea. It feels like another like Google Buzz or Google Plus or
Orkut. Remember Orkut?
Orkut. I mean, you know, like, just let it go, Google. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to dominate every area.
You don't have to be the all things to everyone thing. Personally, I would not use this, even if it's better than Pinterest, if I was going to use that, because I'd be too afraid of them shutting it down in, like, I don't
no
know,
kidding.
8 months.
Yeah.
And be like,
no, they'll
yeah.
let it linger like Google Plus did. I mean, Google Plus, like, what, died on the vine for how many years before they finally, like, let that thing go? I mean, it was there forever.
They did shut it down, right?
Yeah, finally.
Okay.
But I mean, it's like the slowest death I've ever seen. It was crazy. Like, so
I mean, personally, I can see using Google for just a handful of things, right? You use it for search for some people, not me. Yeah. You use it for email.
Yeah.
Google Docs, Sheet.
Yeah, Google Docs is
all,
pretty good.
All mm-hmm. that, right?
Yeah.
Then if you want to add on the things that they bought, like YouTube, okay, that. Like all the other stuff that they do, like, I don't know. Google yeah. Voice. Okay, I do use Google Voice
yeah.
as well. That's
yeah.
a good one,
right.
too.
Right.
All the other stuff, though, like, I don't know. Doesn't do yeah. much for me. Right.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure there's big user bases on a lot of that stuff, but, yeah, there you go. Speaking of another thing that has a large user base, but is not doing good stuff for you in security, there is a tweet that I found about TikTok continuously grabbing your clipboard contents on iOS. And this person, they will link to the tweet, has a video of this. With iOS 14, is that the new one?
Yeah, it's the new one. Yeah, we're gonna mention briefly it in a minute. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Apparently, it tells you when an application is taking the clipboard, and if you watch this video, TikTok is constantly grabbing a copy of the clipboard when the app isn't
it
even
wants
open.
To see everything you're typing at all times, even if you delete that, don't submit or whatever. It's just constantly grabbing things. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. This is not make me feel good or safe about TikTok at all. And I think we've talked about this before, right? TikTok is a Chinese company.
Mm-hmm.
You should be careful about the apps that you install on your phone because they sometimes have a lot of permissions and they can do things that you don't know that they're doing.
So what should users do? Delete TikTok, or is there a way to update this in iOS settings?
So that's a good question. I don't know. I'm not an iOS person. Like my default would be to delete it and not, you know, you should
I'm
have
pretty
first
sure
of all,
your default is to set your phone on fire. Like, I think that's actually your default is like, no. And then the phone, you set the phone in something and just, it goes ablaze. Like that's your default.
So it started making me think about things a little bit. You should, first of all, have the least amount of apps that you need on your phone. Like, don't just leave apps. If you're not using it anymore, you should delete them, remove them. There's no sense in clogging it up and opening yourself to things. But it made me start thinking about how, you know, we've talked a number of times about Firefox and how it has containers and you can kind of containerize stuff. You've got that actually on computers as well, right? So you can run things inside of virtual machines and things are all segmented off. Really, I think we need to get to the point where we have that on phones, where each application runs inside of a container and you can clearly delineate and say, like, this application is allowed to access the internet or it is allowed to access the clipboard, but only the clipboard when, you know, I come to it. Is it allowed to access? I think we really, you know, these phones have become so like privacy invasive because they do so many things now. It's not like the Razer flip phones of yesteryear.
And it's not like the Razer flip phones of today either.
That's true. That we really need to get to the point of you guys are missing out by not seeing video, by the way, because Adam is miming how a flip phone opens on the video. And it, like, you can't even explain it in audio for it to even be anywhere near as funny.
It's magical is what you're really trying to say. My gestures and persona are just magical,
you know,
on the screen.
I think you have a second job as a mime one day. Like, you could do these things and
I hear that pays really well too. So I should think about that.
Yeah.
I could probably support some kids.
Marcel Marceau? Is that the famous mime?
Yeah.
French mime?
Of course.
And this is where your producer says you guys.
Yeah,
are
we gotta keep going. I got another good article we gotta talk about.
Okay, so what's next?
But I will say, Sanjay, you have influenced me because TikTok is gone.
Boom. Get rid of
gone.
That.
Wow. There you go.
You can still watch all those videos on YouTube anyway. So just.
All right. So listen, speaking of something that's gone, exclusive segue, the most hyped invention since the Macintosh, is ending production. So of course, this is the you know, the thing that you see the mall cops driving around on, and that none of us, or most of us, have really never used. And the idea, of course, was going to be that everybody's going to have this. It's going to replace cars. It'll be the biggest thing from going from horse and buggy to cars. And of course, that never happened because it has a $5,000 price tag and it's supremely impractical. So, and we have these things called legs that we can also use to get around. And so I prefer to use those. They work really well for me.
I think everything fell apart for them when they were part of the Kevin James movie, Paul Blart, Mall Cop. I think that's when everybody's like, no.
I don't know, man. I think it's way before that.
Maybe.
That they fell way before that. I mean,
it was funny. The article mentioned where they were used the most, security and tourism. And that's only places I've ever seen them.
The only place you ever see them is security and tourism. And of course, they did have the incident where the CEO of the company that bought Segway originally accidentally drove his Segway off a cliff and died.
Yeah, he died.
That
right?
doesn't
yeah.
help you sell more for sure.
No.
But I mean, I think Segways are really interesting. I can't imagine any scenario where I would ever want to own one in any capacity whatsoever or use one regularly. So,
yeah,
you know.
I think they are, really neat technology. I think they've been held back by the fact that batteries don't last long enough. And honestly, they don't go fast enough. And it's probably good they don't go faster because we probably would have had more people falling off cliffs. Like, I don't know if you know, but George W. Bush tried one out one time and he fell off of it and got hurt. So
I think I did know that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, you can get hurt on these things too.
I really do want to take a Segway tour with my kids. Like, that's the only thing I want. I do want to do that at some point. That seems like fun, but otherwise.
But do you think those are going to stick around? Because now if they're not making any more of this, they're still going to service them. Yeah, there's going to be less and less of these over time.
So. Yeah. I mean, maybe there'll be a hoverboard tour, you know, and another impractical thing that we cannot use.
I will say one of the interesting things of this article was they claim that one of the reasons why the company didn't succeed in these is because they made them too good. They built so many redundant parts in the Segway that they just didn't fail and people didn't need to upgrade from one to the next.
Right.
And so their universe of people that would buy new ones kept going smaller and smaller. I'm very disturbed by the fact that by building a really good product, you're not going to have a successful company. Like, you have to have a product with a flaw that you have to upgrade. Like, what does that tell us about phones and stuff?
Yeah, that's computers and phones, right? I mean, like, because the iPhone doesn't get worse over time, but everything else ramps up around it to where it's just not fast enough to keep up anymore. So, you know, it's a good product, but whatever. So moving on and staying in the Segway vignette here, the Segway's inventor has a new project, manufacturing human organs. Now, this is a really long article. I'm going to let you talk about the organ part of it, Sanjay. But the one thing I wanted to mention first is that he's apparently invented a lot of things, not just the Segway. My favorite of which is called the, quote, man cannon that launches SWAT personnel onto a roof. I want to see that in action. And that seems like something I might want to buy. I'm just saying, like, I could have a man cannon down below my deck, stand on the man cannon. It launches me up to my deck. I don't have to bother going up the stairs. That seems like a good deal. Let's try that. So with that said,
I totally missed the man cannon. So I didn't read the entire article.
The best part, man.
Read a bunch about Dean Kamen. I mean, he really came to prominence originally when he was asked to redesign the dialysis machines that are used for dialysis for kidney patients. And he had no experience in biomedical engineering or anything. And he just took on like the approach of an engineer. And he basically invented a radically new, more efficient way of doing dialysis for patients. And that's actually the type of technology that now exists, I think, in almost all dialysis machines around the world.
Yeah.
And that was his start. He's done a lot of these kind of engineering things in areas where he has spent no time, Segway obviously being another one of them. But now it's really fascinating, and I'm going to be interested to see how this develops, is that they're actually building up the technology and tools around mass producing organs. So artificial organs for humans. Yeah. They're not actually doing the technology around how to make the organs. They're actually doing the tooling around mass producing those organs, because we have, I think the article said like 111,000 people waiting on the organ transplant list, right? Wow. So there's a lot of people out there. And by the way, I'll make a little plug. If you are not an organ donor, if you don't have that on your driver's license, think about doing that, because, you know, once we're gone, you don't need those things.
I think you can do it in the Apple Health app as well.
Can you? Okay. So I've got the little thing on my driver's license because I'm not going to need that stuff at that point. And so I'd rather somebody else benefit from it. But hopefully one day we can actually grow these organs so that we can transplant them into people right when they need them and not have to wait, and also not have to worry about rejection issues, like the body rejecting the new tissue and everything else like that. But I think it's a super smart thing because it is going to be something that kind of comes. There's a lot of companies working on this stuff. So being the one that doesn't actually have to risk it and figure out how to create the organs and instead supporting the creation of the organs is
cool. That's really cool. Yeah. Really smart.
I wonder if this is his last deal or if he's going to do, because he's getting up there in age.
I mean, he's 65. So, you know, he's got some good inventing. I mean, listen, if we can elect a president that's in his 70s, then clearly a 65-year-old's got some good inventing left. That's all I'm trying to say.
That's a good point. Yeah, hopefully he sticks around.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, hopefully he sticks around for a good while longer, because this dude, over his entire career, has created a lot of great stuff. And hopefully he'll continue to do that. Talking about great stuff, although it's not great stuff for me, there you tagged this article for exciting announcements from WWDC, the Apple annual conference. And one of them, I'm kind of like, yeah, dude, I've had this on Android for a while.
I was waiting for the snarky comment. I'll walk through it.
The first one, I actually really want to ask you about the first one. So the first one's the Apple Watch sleep tracking thing. That you've become an Apple Watch person, are you going to do this?
I already do it. Yeah. So I charge my watch at my desk. I charge my watch at my desk during the day, and I use an app that was going to be a future app recommendation, but I'll go ahead and say it now. I think it's called Sleep Plus Plus, and it auto tracks my
sleep. Don't get that Sleep Plus one, because that one's just garbage. I mean, you got to do the Plus Plus one.
Yeah, you got to do the Plus Plus. But it auto tracks your sleep. So it essentially senses when you've finally gone to sleep and then when you wake up, and it tells you how many restless minutes you had and all that sort of stuff, which is kind of great.
Okay, I got to ask you this. Are you doing anything with that information? Like, what does it do for you?
I think it helps me just historically understand what my patterns of sleep are. And I'm trying to do a better job of getting into better sleep rhythms, like going to bed at the same time every day, getting up at the same time every day, getting the same amount of sleep every night. So it just helps me basically determine, am I doing a good job of all those things?
So what I just heard you say is you're using data to reconfirm the fact that you did not get a good night's sleep the night before, instead of just going like, man, I'm tired. I'm tired.
But that, and proactively making attempts to like, hey, I tend to sleep better when I go to bed at this time, and those kinds of things. So that's the idea. So
sounds just like a reason to say that I deserve a nap.
And I do deserve a nap today. Thank you for noticing the bags.
I think we all deserve a nap today. I got to tell you, like, we've got the Samsung watch Active 2. I don't know what the name is. I think it's the Active 2, and it's got the sleep thing too. I can't wear it while I sleep. Like, I can't have stuff on my arms.
Yeah, see, that's my problem with the Apple Watch too. I don't like sleep.
It doesn't bother me a bit. So, other than occasionally when I roll over in the middle of the night and then the watch face lights up and I'm like, who's turning on a light? Who's turning on? And I'm like, oh, it's my watch. It's okay. I can stop being stupid.
We had that too with the Fitbit, and that's why I would never wear the Fitbit. The Samsung watch actually has a sleep mode, so that anything that you touch except for like one of the recessed buttons will not turn it on, so that it never lights up at nighttime.
Nice. So listen, there's three other things on this list I do want to mention. So one is improved group messaging. I'm not hip enough to be in a lot of group messages, so this isn't very exciting to me at all. I'm on like other apps for group stuff, so whatever. You can change the default browser.
Are they apps where the people can't kick you off of them?
You'll be able to change the default browser in iOS, which, I mean, again, seems like it should have happened like, I don't know, like a lot of years ago. And then finally, the one you're going to make fun of the most.
Thing has been doing that for a long time. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then the one you're going to make fun of the most, which is we're going to finally get widgets on our screen along with the app buttons, which again, I mean, come on. Like, I am a little shocked.
The widgets that we've had on Android for like, I don't know, six originally, years.
Since it originally came out? Yes. Those things. Yes. Yes.
Oh, I'm glad you're just joining the party now.
Yeah. It's cool, man. I'm okay. I'm okay with being slow on the uptake there.
I mean, that is actually a good development for app developers, right? Because now they're a little bit closer to parity between iOS and Android. They can do the same things across both platforms and give the same experience to users. So that's a good thing. But it's like, I don't know, touting it as something brand new. Yeah. Just
well, I don't know that they're touted too much, but I'm touting it. So, but listen, let's
did you actually watch WWDC? Because I'm sure when they talked about it.
I don't have time to watch that stuff. Okay. No, I'm not reading research papers and I'm not watching that stuff either. Okay. I ain't got time for that.
Because I've seen some of the clips before and like they'll announce like honestly, the lamest things, and the people in the audience are like, like it's, I don't know, like just invented water or air or something. It's crazy. Yeah.
I wish I'd invented water. Anyway, moving on. Too. So,
time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
It's time for Weird and Wacky because we have a lot of stuff to talk about here. So, we got to dive right in. So, Weird and Wacky article number one. Mark Hamill had a secret cameo in Disney's The Mandalorian. He did the voiceover for a droid that was, I believe, a bartender. And then not only that, but apparently he's got some kind of voice work in every single movie. And I think even in some of the different series and stuff, which was
except for the prequels.
Except for the
three prequels, he's not in. But all the rest, he's in some shape or form. And I will admit, we are not yet done watching The Mandalorian.
Oh, my gosh.
We're working on it.
Oh, my gosh.
But I just saw the second season of The Mandalorians coming out in October, I think.
I've been watching the Star Wars, the nine movies, the main nine movies with my 10-year-old. And she's loving them, by the way. So far, so good. We've gotten through episodes 1 to 6, though we did watch them in the correct order, of course, which is 4 to 6 and then 1 to 3. And now we're watching the newer ones coming up. So, all right. So next, a teenager had some hilarious, quote, additional instructions for his Amazon delivery woman, and she followed them to the T. So this was great. I didn't even realize you could do this. Apparently in the Amazon delivery instructions.
The video is great, by the way. The video is just
I haven't seen the video.
Oh, listeners, you got to go watch the video because there's video of her following the directions. It's
so
awesome.
And so the directions they put in there are knock on the door 3 times and scream abracadabra as loud as you can and run away super fast. Apparently she did exactly that. And he just dies laughing because he had completely forgotten that he set those as the default special instructions. And of course, I think his parents were like, what is happening right now?
So apparently he did it months and months ago. And then she's the first one that actually followed the instructions. Like, I wonder, like, all those other people, like, why didn't you know how to
just not paying attention, man? They just, you know, just overlooked it or thought, oh, this is just silly. I'm not doing that. But, man, props to that Amazon delivery person. Yep. That is unbelievable.
She runs and she also leaps over, like, some toys that are sitting out in the yard so that she can get away as fast as she's just
like
booking
a superhero.
It.
She's
like a just superhero. Booking it back to the vehicle.
Yeah.
It's great. I want her as my delivery person, by the way.
Yeah. Well, so what you don't want is this next person, right? The Walmart, quote, Rona shopper, old dude shoves his way past employees. Let me in, expletive. So, and there's a little video on this. Apparently this guy shoves his way in to Walmart and he had to shove his way in because he's not wearing a mask and the Walmart was requiring masks and he tried to keep him out. Shoves his way in, and then the Walmart employees following him around like, hey, you got to leave. You're not wearing a mask. These are the rules. And then another shopper, like an actual shopper, gets involved. He's like, hey, man, this guy's just trying to do his job. Stop giving him a hard time. And it was kind of rough to watch, honestly.
Yeah. He plays this, it limits my freedom card. Yeah. So actually, it doesn't. You're not required to shop at Walmart or any other private business that can have whatever rules they want.
They can.
That are, you know, obviously not discriminatory towards one certain group or anything, but if they have rules, especially during a pandemic around wearing a mask and you don't like those rules, then maybe you should not go to that store.
So this is interesting. A couple things. Number one, and this is the note that I made is it the argument, it limits my freedom card. I mean, that's like saying, like, I'm not going to go to a store that won't allow me to come in with no shirt and no shoes because that limits my freedom. Like, it's that's the same argument, right? If you're willing to put on a shirt and shoes to go in a store, you should be willing to put on a mask. Okay, number one. Number two.
It's funny that you make that argument, by the way, because I've also amused by this. Like, these people that don't want to wear masks, I'm expecting them to be just totally nude then from now on. Because clothes limit your freedom.
Right.
Then you should just not wear any clothes.
That's what I'm saying.
If you really want to do this, let's go all out.
Go all out. It's all or nothing, people.
Yeah.
But listen, so this is also interesting related to freedom and limiting. So I work with somebody that lives in Australia, and I was actually talking with her today. So it was, I guess, nighttime for her and morning time for me. And she's telling me about how Australia now has a COVID-19 tracking app, and how when you go out to a restaurant, they're so serious. When you go out to a restaurant, you have to show the restaurant that you have the tracking app on your phone, or you have to give them your name, phone number, and address so that if there is an outbreak, they can contact you to let you know you've been exposed. Like, that is some pretty serious stuff. But I mean, it makes sense because that way they know when people are going out in public, like, this is kind of a required thing, and you're able to keep the public safe. So it's I thought that was a really interesting approach, and one that will probably never, ever, ever work here in the US.
Well, so we talked about the Google Apple app, the contact tracing thing. I don't know where that is. Like,
well, I mean, other countries are using it, right? I mean, Australia, they're using that as the base. I think
that is the base for their app.
I believe that's the base for Australia's app. We need to look that up, but I'm pretty sure it is. And there's another couple of countries that are also using it as a base. I don't know where we're at in the U.S. and what's going on and why we're not using something. It doesn't make any sense. We're getting the most cases.
Because it limits our freedom.
We're getting the most cases. We are the epicenter now, and we're not using a tracking app that we can use for this thing. It makes no sense to me. Anyway, all right, we got to keep moving. So, all right, it's time for Tech Rex. So...
Tech wreck.
Sanjay, what do you have for us for Tech Wreck?
So I surprisingly got a Father's Day present this year. This is not a normal thing in our house. I think it's because I didn't get a birthday present because it was during the lockdown as well. And so the kids and my wife conspired. And normally, like, I see all the charges on the credit cards. Somehow I missed this one and I didn't see and didn't know what was coming. So they got me the Samsung Buds Plus. Which are, you guys have
not
them.
The plus they, plus? It's just the OnePlus.
Just OnePlus.
Okay.
It's like for regular people, not the double plus. These are just wireless headphones. Like you've got with the AirPods and things like that. But what it does have that I think is unique, at least as far as I've seen, is there is actually a feature on there that it gives you ambient mode. So you can turn on ambient mode and be able to hear outside.
Yeah.
And so one of the challenges I have, like when we do these podcasts and stuff, I have a hard time if I'm listening in both ears, like on a phone call or anything else, I can't hear myself. And so then I end up speaking louder and louder because of that. And I can't like regulate my volume. These let you do that because you can continue to wear them in both ears and be able to hear. There's actually even a setting on there that anytime you take a call, you can enable ambient mode automatically. So then you automatically get that self feedback.
Cool.
I'm actually planning on right now I'm wearing wired headphones because I don't have Bluetooth on this computer. I'm going to get a Bluetooth adapter. I'm going to start wearing those bad boys when we do these podcasts and then not have to worry about being able to hear properly.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome.
What about you, Adam? What do you got for us?
So I'm going to recommend, so for those of you that have not had a screen protector in a long time, you maybe used those plastic ones forever and they were just horrible experience. So now they have these newfangled, not new, tempered glass screen protectors, and you put those on and it actually feels like the real screen. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I have an original iPad Pro that's several years old. And I discovered this morning that having let my children use it a bit, there is a big fat crack in the screen. And I was looking up how much it's going to cost to replace a screen on an iPad Pro, and it's only $500. So I'm going to put a screen protector right on top of that bad boy and not even worry about the crack in it because I just don't care. But, it just got me back on the screen protector train there. So
that probably would have been more useful before you got the crack.
I know that, Sanjay, but still, it just is what it is.
We can never learn our lessons beforehand, though. It's our flaw of humanity.
I will say I've tried both the plastic ones and the tempered glass ones. The tempered glass ones are so much easier to put on because you don't really get bubbles underneath them.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more stiff, right? They're really good. I like them.
Yeah. The only downside of a tempered glass one, I will say, is that they do crack easily. The actual tempered glass, the glass cut, like protector screen, will crack easily, and especially around the edges. So if you are hard on your phones, you might end up need to buy like a 3 or 4 pack or something, but it will protect your screen. So I'm just saying there's a benefit there. So Shannon, do you have a tech rec for us today?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend the Joe app. It is basically just an app for coffee only, just ordering coffee online. And I think it might be new because of COVID, but I'm a big coffee shop person. So I'm trying to support all my local coffee shops, but they're all closed right now. But you can do curbside, and they're pretty much all using this app. So on the app, it'll show you like local coffee shops that are listed on the app in your area. So I've been ordering from a bunch of different ones and trying all their coffee and then just picking it up curbside.
Nice. I love that. I love that. And all right.
I just looked them up. They're based out of Seattle, Washington, so you don't have to worry about some Chinese company getting
and,
your clipboard.
I mean, a lot of good coffee stuff comes out of Seattle, Washington. So
there you go.
Boom. All right. So now it's time for TV movie recommendations. We love this part. So Sanjay, what do you have for us?
So I've got a show that is actually on its last season, and it's been good throughout. It's called The 100. It's a science fiction show set in the future. Kind of dystopian Earth type of deal. It's on the CW. And like I said, it's in its very last season right now. It's been a great series.
Man.
Sad
I
to
love
see
the
it
100.
Go. But it's a great show. Yeah.
It's
what about
really,
you, Adam? What
really
do you got?
Well done. Really well done. So I'm going to recommend Black AF on Netflix. It's actually the title is actually hashtag Black AF on Netflix. And so quick disclaimer, this is not suitable for work, not suitable for children, not suitable for some spouses. Like, there's a lot of language in this. But it's got Rashida Jones in it, who was in The Office and in Parks and Rec. She's fantastic. And what I love about it is this. It's a mockumentary, so it's a fake documentary about this family. And the acting is superb. And they really are dealing with a lot of Black issues, actually. And now seems like a pretty appropriate time to you know, appreciate that perspective and learn more about it in a way that's maybe not as heavy, right? So
and,
I've really
and the other actor that you left out there is Kenya Barris, who is the guy that wrote Blackish and a bunch of others. And this is his first time acting. He's been a writer for a long time, a producer for a long time.
Yep.
But it's a first time. He's
really
hilarious too.
And he's and he is himself in the show, right? The show's about him.
Yeah. He's one of the main actors.
Himself. And like it's a show about him and his family, and they're wealthy, and they're dealing with all the ins and outs of that, and of the race and everything else.
But
so,
it's not his real family. It's an actor family, and they're making fun of a lot of things. It's so well done. I laugh out loud so many times during that show. It's so good.
It's a lot like the Jim Gaffigan show, where Jim Gaffigan. It's like the whole thing's about his life, but it wasn't with his real family. Like it's kind of a weird sort of thing there, but. But yeah, it's been really, really good. But again, an insane amount of language. So just be aware.
They should get Jim Gaffigan onto Black AF. Like that would be funny to watch. That would be really good.
Since he doesn't use any language at all. I could be like...
either him or, you know, one of my other favorite comics is Mike Birbiglia. I love Mike Birbiglia. Do you know him?
I don't know him. I don't know.
There's a bunch of specials on Netflix. You need to watch him. He's really good.
Okay, that's good. All right, Shannon, what do you have for us?
I'm going to recommend the movie Hidden Figures, which have you both seen?
Oh, yeah.
Not yet. It is on my list. I need to watch that. It looks
so
really
good.
Really good.
So good.
So brief synopsis. It's about Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughn, and Mary Jackson, who are the three Black women that worked at NASA that were instrumental in the launch of John Glenn into orbit. And NASA just yesterday announced that they're naming their headquarters after Mary Jackson.
Oh, wow.
So kind of a cool announcement from there. There is a little bit, there's like one storyline and it's based on, you know, real events, but there's one storyline that's made up that kind of gives it a little bit of like a white savior narrative, which I'm not crazy about that storyline within the movie, but overall I think it's really well done. And cool Georgia Tech tie-in. So there actually was a PhD candidate in aerospace engineering at Georgia Tech that worked on the movie and checked all of the math to make sure everything that they're writing on the chalkboard was factual and correct. And so that's kind of a cool Atlanta Tech tie-in.
Wow. Cool. That's really cool. I had no idea. About the Georgia Tech tie-in. So that's amazing. Well, that's our show. Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me on Twitter at Sanjay, that's S-A-N-J-A-Y, or sanjayparekh.com. What about you, Adam?
They can find me on my website, adamjwalker.com. It's got links to everything. So just adamjwalker.com. Check it out. And
Shannon, you just linked to everything in the world?
I'm basically Google.
Why would you do that?
I hear that if you link to more stuff, you get more Google SEO juice and you get higher up, right? So I need some more juice. SEO juice. Okay. Yeah.
You're all about the SEO juice. What about you, Shannon? Do you link to everything or do you just link to the things that relate to you?
Yeah, I'm around. I guess I link to a couple things that relate to me on my website, shannonivancheck.com. Find me there or don't.
It's up to you.
You don't have to find Shannon. Adam, he definitely wants you to
find me, clearly.
You got to find him. That's why he's linked to everything.
Attention. Shannon doesn't need the... She doesn't care about the attention. I want the attention.
So like when new web pages come up, you just link them automatically like on your site?
Yeah,
that's
all I do all day long. I just spend my time looking up... I type in random character combinations and .com to find new domains. Uh-huh. And then when I find
and
one...
And then you just link them.
I link them. I'm linking it up. You know,
you're like Yahoo Directory from back in the day.
Doo-doo-doo.